You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
November the 11th, 2020. Thank you, veterans. This is your day. Ballot counting continues. Legal challenges continue. The GOP is just one win away from holding the Senate majority. Republican winning re-election in Alaska. That was expected. So now the Republicans hold 50 Senate seats. Democrats have 48. We have a runoff election coming up in January that involves both of the Georgia seats for the Senate. Republican facing a Democrat in each of those races. If just one of the Republicans win, well, then we would have control of the Senate again. Ideally, both of them will win. And they will have 52 Senate seats to the Democrats' 48. But beware. Members of the Democrat Party are openly, and I mean openly, and being supported by mainstream media, calling for voter fraud in Georgia for this election. Voter fraud. They're openly calling for it. They're not even trying to hide it. I'll explain in the next segment. In the meantime, in Georgia, the Secretary of State announcing we're going to do a hand recount of all the ballots we have. We have something like 5 million. And Biden leads, but only by about 14,000 votes, so we're going to do a hand recount. Georgia has 16 electoral votes. The Trump campaign filing a lawsuit against Michigan Secretary of State after they claim, the Trump campaign, that credentialed election challengers were blocked from having sufficient view of the vote counting process. And challenges against certain ballots were ignored. As a result, ineligible ballots were tallied. Now, that might all be true, but will it amount to enough to turn over the results in Michigan? There are numerous challengers where one of them apparently was told by an election worker, hey, I can't see what's going on, and the election worker said, too bad, back away. We're going to get into the whistleblower complaints that have been surfacing about these allegations coming up before the hour is over. In Arizona, the one that had been called early on election night for Joe Biden by Fox and AP, It's not such a runaway as they want you to think on that night. Biden is leading in Arizona, but it's shrinking. He's down to less than 13,000 votes. And apparently something like 47,000 ballots are still to come in. Yesterday, Senator Manchin of West Virginia said, I will not go along with this Green Deal and all the far, far left progressive attitudes we're hearing that they're going to push through. Once Biden-Harris get in, he said, I will not do it. I will stand up to it. Senator Ted Cruz said, that's nice that he wants to do that. He doesn't want to help pack the court or end the filibuster. He said, and I'm quoting Cruz, Joe Manchin campaigning for Democrats in Georgia. He said, I like him, perfectly a nice guy, but none of the Democrats have the strength to stand up to Chuck Schumer. He will put pressure on, like he's never felt before. It is Veterans Day. And in one tight-knit Pennsylvania community, they're honoring veterans by placing more than 500 full-size flags in a local cemetery. It's a decades-old tradition. That's outstanding. Population of Blairsville, only 3,500, 40 miles east of Pittsburgh. Small community. They had a lot who were lost in wars. President Trump, of course, today attending a ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery, his first public event since projected to have lost the presidential election, visiting the tomb of the unknown soldier. Rain coming down, the president standing there showing honor and respect. This you could see coming. The Portland City Commissioner, who wants to defund police, had apparently had problems with the Lyft driver. And what did he do? He called 911. He wants the police to deal with the Lyft driver. I don't know the rest of it. I just think that's enough to make it funny. We have Eta, what do you want to call it, now strengthened into a hurricane off the southwest coast of Florida, but now weakening once again. It's going to be a strong tropical storm. It should hit Florida's west coast a little bit later today. And in the meantime, across the Midwest, tens of thousands without power as a storm system with severe weather, several inches of snow causing crashes across Minnesota. Well, they got good weather and they got bad weather. And just wait. Wherever you are, it'll probably change for you as well. You know that. Stand by for hour number two.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500. But my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Those mail-in ballots could have been for anybody. Those mail-in ballots could have been for anybody they wrote in. Those mail-in ballots could have been written the day before by the Democratic Party hacks that were all over the convention center. What I'm saying to you is not a single one was inspected, as the law required.
That is Rudy Giuliani, of course, serving as President Trump's attorney, as legal challenges are being filed across the nation in various states where there are certain questions about how the ballots were handled. Now, for those of you who hate Trump and say, it's over, close the doors, go home. Well, it's not over. Trump has not lost officially, nor has Biden won officially. The mainstream media can say what it wants, but it's not over until the Electoral College certifies the votes December 14th. I would say the same thing if Trump had, quote, been not necessarily declared by the mainstream media as a winner, but begrudgingly saying, I think you got the numbers. But it's still not official to that point. So I don't care. The night Trump said that Hillary had called and conceded to him and he wanted to start thinking and bringing everyone together, he was not at that point officially elected. You have to understand that. And if there are legal challenges, they apply. The statutes are there for both parties, and they have rights, and they're exercising them. Democrats don't want them to. And the more they persist and fight against it and argue against it, makes me wonder, what's the rush? What are you trying to hide? Why don't you want a full transparency? See everything. I mean, in Pennsylvania, when they were really, truly 600 plus thousand ballots being counted and no election observer allowed in the room. And then when they were allowed in, they were kept back originally something like 10 to 12 feet. They couldn't see anything. Then they went to the court and they said, okay, you got to. So they said, all right, we'll give you the 6 feet because that's what's standard now for COVID. They still can't really see anything. And in fact, one of them complained directly, hey, I can't see anything. And a poll counter turned around and said, tough luck, pretty much tough luck. That's not meaningful monitoring of the election. And I'd say that. I don't care which party's denying the other that opportunity. And, of course, you got Joe Biden already. I mean, he said the other day, and it's being picked up, it's an embarrassment Trump hasn't conceded this election. It's an embarrassment. Now, in the last hour, I went back to that first debate that Biden had with Trump, and Chris Wallace asked him then, would you be willing to wait for all the votes to be counted before declaring that you're the president? Absolutely. I know there'll be a lot of votes to be counted. I won't say anything until they're counted. Well, he's not waiting, obviously. So he's already done 180 from what he said he would do. And now he wants to declare that Trump should come forward and acknowledge that he's beat. Well, he's not officially beat. But it's enough for the New York Times in my morning box. I get it every day. It's just a good way to wake up, Larry. Slap me in the face. David Lenihart's article for the New York Times. Good morning. Trump still won't concede, which Biden called an embarrassment. Yep, like I said, they picked that up pretty quick. Goes on to talking then about the battle for the Senate and how important that is. Now, we referred to that earlier, both also in news and commentary. We now have the Senate race in Alaska decided, so as expected, that became Republican. We currently have 50 Republicans in the Senate and two races still in play, both of them in Georgia. Republican, Democrat running against each other in two separate races. If we get only one of them, the Senate will be held by Republicans. If we get both, they'll have not just one extra vote, they'll have two. And there's some shenanigans underway behind that, and I'll get into that in a moment. So Giuliani is talking about, there are a lot of votes. We don't know what happened. We don't know where they came from. Now, I'm going to give you balance. I always try to give you some balance. Heather Cronin apparently is one of the ballot workers in the Pennsylvania Assembly Hall or Conference Hall, wherever they were counting the ballots. And she was being asked about cheating. Is there any way you could have cheated? You could have changed things. I want you to hear her answer because I want you to hear both sides. Here we go.
I couldn't have done it if I wanted to. There were too many people watching us. There was the poll work, the supervisors. There's the live stream. There was the monitors. It just wouldn't have happened.
Could you take a Trump ballot and then crumple it up and throw it in the waste paper basket?
Well, there were no trash cans. So, no, you couldn't do that.
Yeah, I guess not. I guess you couldn't do it. So if you, her word is, no, it couldn't happen. We couldn't have done anything like that if we wanted. Now, of course, that's assuming what was brought into them. Was it brought in on time? Was it properly signed? There are a lot of other issues, not just counting them. When did it arrive? Did it arrive by the deadline set? And does it have the proper signature? And is this person still alive? Things of that nature. So there are questions about that. And when it comes to paper ballots, let me take you back to something even the New York Times noted in 2010. A 2010 article stating, basically, that votes cast by mail are less likely to be counted, more likely to be compromised, more likely to be contested than those cast in a voting booth, statistics show. That's a New York Times article from 2010. The article says, quote, fraud is easier by mail. Again, the New York Times. And it went on to refer to the Florida election supervisor who told the Times the only cases of election fraud have been in absentee ballots. The more people you force to vote by mail, the more invalid ballots you will generate. Are you listening to this? This coming out of the New York Times. Not now. No. Back in 2010. In 2010. A 2005 study conducted by the Commission on Federal Election Reform, led in part by Democrats Jimmy Carter and former Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle, they found, basically, warning about a mail-in voting, that it exposes real fraud risk, especially in close elections. Now, let's go to Jerry Nadler, who's currently the chair of the House Judiciary Committee. Jerry Nadler, when he was still just a congressman, not the House chair, in 2004 in a congressional hearing, He admitted paper ballots extremely susceptible to fraud.
In my experience in New York, paper ballots are extremely susceptible to fraud. And at least with the old clunky voting machines that we have in New York, the deliberate fraud is way down compared to paper. When the machines break down and they vote on paper, we've had real problems.
They have real problems. Now, that was a shorter version of what you're going to hear now, because I want to put it in context. Believe me, 50-plus years in journalism, electronic journalism, I have a basic fabric of fairness. I'm not going to put something in front of you I know to be false. I'm not going to try to give you only one side. But now the difference is, as opposed to being, quote, a journalist at that time, I can express my opinion. And if you listen, you know I do from time to time. But I'm still going to be fair. And fair to the point that I've got some listeners that get upset with me. You know, you're giving too much leeway. You're giving too much credit to the left. Well, I'm giving what's deserved and what's factual and accurate. I'm not going to be a puppet for anybody. I want to tell you the best I can. This entire program is built kind of like a newscast, if you've noticed. We have information. We have sound bites. We kind of build it up. And, of course, I add in comments. And I'm not trying to tell you how to think. You think the way you want to. I appreciate you listening and sampling and telling others. You don't have to think the way I do. I've got a lot of close friends that are not thinking at all along the same political lines I do. I've got a sister who's a Trump hater. But she's blood. And these other folks are friends. I'm not going to lose my relationships with my sister or anyone else over politics. Just not going to happen. Not on my side. That's why I'm going to make sure you always get the full story. So with Jerry Nadler in 2004, at this congressional hearing, admitting what he'd seen in New York, there's evidence that paper is open invitation to fraud. Well, a woman identified as a freelance journalist stood up and testified that an MIT study said, no, that's not true. Well, now hear this exchange in full, please.
In my experience in New York, paper ballots are extremely susceptible to fraud. And at least with the old clunky voting machines that we have in New York, the deliberate fraud is way down compared to paper. When the machines break down and they vote on paper, we've had real problems. So there's got to be a way. I'm simply observing that as a problem. There's got to be a way of getting the best of our methodologies.
But in fact, the MIT studies have shown that hand-counted paper ballots are among the most reliable. And at least if there's a miscount, you can discover it. You can't discover miscounts with these machines.
Well, maybe optical scan with paper. I want a paper trail. I want paper somewhere. But pure paper with no machines, I can show you experience which would make your head spin.
Make your head spin. That was in 2004. And we just had a massive mail-in campaign, partly because of COVID, partly because folks wanted to do that. There are folks that routinely mail their ballots in, certainly the military. And everybody says, well, where's the fraud there? It hasn't happened. Well, it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It just hasn't been enough or whatever. But we have had a massive voter mail-in this time around. And if it's mailed in, it's on paper. The very thing Jerry Nadler acknowledged in 2004, paper ballots are easy to be subjected to fraud. Did the person who got the ballot even have legal rights to be voting? Did they gather other ballots and change them before they were sent in? I don't know, but let's ask and find out. And I go back again, as I said in the beginning of this segment, New York Times article from 2010, and I'm quoting, votes cast by mail are less likely to be counted, more likely to be compromised, more likely to be contested than those cast in a voting booth. Fraud is easier by mail. But they don't want you to know that, do they? Not this time around. By the way, we're talking about fraud and questions about it. We're going to spend some time before we wrap up this hour about some of the whistleblowers coming forward. Are they legitimate? Are they just looking for attention? Are they all fake? But I'm also going to tell you about how some Democrats are openly, I mean openly, talking about fraud in the Georgia Senate races. They're not even hiding this. They're making it clear, we're willing to do this. We know it's fraud, but we don't care. I'll have that coming up before we wrap up. In the meantime, Joe Biden and his running mate Kamala Harris have gotten a letter from the Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors, beginning by saying, well, we want to congratulate you, and now we're requesting a meeting with both of you to discuss expectations we have for you and your administration and commitments that must be made to black people. And then declaring in a statement, we want something for our vote, saying that Black Lives Matter is actually the reason you and Biden and Harris won, and we want something for our vote. A lot of groups that can offer monies and so forth to campaigns, be it teachers unions or some other group or pro-life groups, they all want something, obviously, but this is pretty blatant. Are we going to continue to go like this all the way through? I mean, are we ever going to see an end to it? Stand by for the words of Senator Mitch McConnell.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
At some point here, we'll find out, finally, who was certified in each of these states, and the Electoral College will determine the winner, and that person will be sworn in on January 20th. No reason for alarm.
Senator Mitch McConnell saying, just stay calm, no reason for alarm. We're going through the process, which is all legal, to challenge, question, look for validation, he said, and then eventually we'll have someone sworn in. My boots on the ground correspondent, Andrew in Chicago, sent me an article by Ben Weingarten, I should say. I follow a lot of his writings. I just hadn't seen this piece, so I thank Andrew for bringing it to my attention. And Ben, by the way, is the author of a book, I love it, American Ingrate, Ilhan Omar and the Progressive Islamist Takeover of the Democrat Party. That's pretty accurate. That's pretty good. So he wrote a piece about that he wrote for the AmericanMind.org, saying the president, Trump, has exposed the rot and corruption of our ruling class. He begins by saying no matter how the presidential election ends, one of Donald Trump's myriad achievements stands above all others. He has exposed the unprecedented degree of rot and corruption that pervades the American system, exposing the ruling class, the bipartisan political establishment, its adjuncts in big tech, corporate media, big business, woke capital, the academy, and across the commanding heights of American society. And he also talks about in the article about the fix, talking about the election. He said, all this, look at what's going on now. Half the country may never trust an election again, not because of the pending outcome, but the process. Everyone knows about chicanery in Democrat machine-run districts. We've known that. Democrats know about it. When they're running in a primary, they know their Democrat opponent is probably pulling tricks on them. They know that all the time. But in this case, yeah, the media helping with it as well. He said, look at the media refusing to put clear Trump victories in the win column while declaring Biden a winner in the hotly contested states, ensuring Biden would not trail in the Electoral College. Now, was that a conscious effort to set the narrative or another coincidence? We already talked about what happened with Arizona, how fast Fox News and AP and their polling groups came forward and said, Biden wins Arizona, and it's still being contested. Right now, there's still votes being counted in Arizona, and Biden's only ahead by less than 14,000 votes. There was no big victory that night, whereas in Florida, Trump won easily, handily, 3 hours before they ever got around to talking about it. And then Ben points out in his article, in the wee hours of the morning, suddenly tens of thousands of votes started to be reported from the bluest cities in the battleground states. Some dumps apparently consisting of 100% of Joe Biden votes, contradicting prior totals from those same areas. Yeah, he said Trump has exposed the rot and corruption. Not only our ruling class, but the media and all of them that are complicit. Is the election stolen? Has it been stolen? Is it in the process of being stolen? Legal challenges. Let's take it and be transparent about it. But the left doesn't want that. Just concede. It's an embarrassment, Biden says. It's an embarrassment. Trump won't say, I give. Well, we'll talk about the whistleblowers coming up and the case where Democrats are talking about out-and-out fraud, and they don't care if you know this one. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I am right at this very moment looking at an article written by Washington Post. It says that I fabricated the allegations of ballot tampering. I'm here to say that I did not recant my statements. That did not happen.
That is Richard Hopkins, a mail carrier from Erie, Pennsylvania. He had accused his bosses of instructing employees to pick up and bring in ballots received after Election Day. And Hopkins said he overheard his boss discussing backdating postmarks to make sure the ballots appear as though they had been collected by November 3rd instead of November 4 or after. And again, this is Pennsylvania. In order for ballots to have been eligible in the state, they needed to be postmarked by Election Day. So this would be out-and-out fraud. Well, it's his word. But he signed an affidavit, swore it's true. He faces perjury charges if he's lying. So the Washington Post suddenly came out with an article late yesterday citing three different officials apparently briefed on the investigation that say Hopkins admitted to U.S. Postal Service investigators that his claims of widespread voting irregularities were fabricated. In other words, it's all a lie. Project Veritas, that far-right activist group which aired Hopkins' initial claims, posted the video you just heard part of to its page, and it appeared to show Hopkins saying he did not recant his statements. He did not. And apparently he says, I'm willing to go under oath to back up the story in the reporting. Now, do I believe the guy? I don't know. I don't have any evidence one way or the other, and you don't either. It's his story, but I do know that Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, said, I'm asking the Justice Department, FBI, to investigate this and all the other suspicions we've seen. He said, in part, The massive surge in mail-in voting that made the Postal Service role in the election much larger than usual, we need to find out what happened. That's why we have these challenges going on. Will there be enough challenges and evidence presented that actual votes will be thrown out? And bigger question, enough votes thrown out of a particular state that will swing it from the Biden column to the Trump column? I don't know. But legally, the Trump team has a right to challenge and raise questions. And documentations or stories like this from someone in the inside add a part. But I don't see anything substantial in the evidence so far. And here's another one coming up. Keep in mind, again, the Trump team is also challenging various states, Michigan being another one of them. An affidavit from a Republican poll challenger in Detroit, Michigan, confirms, apparently, there may be voter fraud in the state. Now, again, that's not really confirmed, but that's the allegation. A former Michigan assistant attorney general testifying at the convention center in downtown Detroit, testifying that at that convention center, election officials appeared to be processing a majority of mail-in ballots from ineligible voters not listed in the poll book of eligible voters, nor on his scanned list, the list he had in front of him. And he confirmed in the affidavit he had heard similar reports from other concerned poll challengers as well. And when this former Michigan assistant attorney general tried to shift positions to get a better visual of the poll book on the computer screen and the mail-in envelopes to confirm his suspicions, he was apparently loudly and aggressively scolded for not social distancing, standing at least 6 feet away. And then later, as he tried to say, I've got to be closer, well, they ended up asking him to leave. Said, you have to stay 6 feet away. He said, well, I can't see anything. Now, the supervisor over these poll watchers was apparently 3 feet away from the others, thus breaking that social distancing rule. But observers not allowed to get any closer. And, of course, the Trump administration has filed a lawsuit in Michigan saying Republicans were denied access to observe and oversee opening and counting ballots of the state. That's Michigan. The allegation coming from Pennsylvania, the postal worker a moment ago, add this to it. This is a piece written for the Federalist by, let me get the name here in front of me, Jerome Marcus, an attorney in private practice in Philadelphia. Could he have made up what he's going to say? Well, I'm going to read to you. He could have. But you know his background, his history. He put his name with it. He said, I was in Philadelphia watching fraud happen. Here's how it went down. He said, at the convention center counting location, I personally observed dozens of Trump campaign workers being barred from the counting room even though they were properly registered as observers. That's a key point. If they are properly registered, they are supposed to have access, even if they're still trying to say, stay 6 feet back. If they're not going to give them access, they're already in violation. He said, despite a binding order of the state's Commonwealth Court, the handful of Republican observers who could get in the room were still not being allowed to get at 6 feet from the closest table. They had no way to tell what was happening. He said, so I borrowed a laptop at 2 o'clock on election day. I typed up a very short document to start a federal lawsuit and request the federal court intervene in unfair practices, and I filed it later that day. He said, we went to a hearing in front of a judge later that day, and the judge had to compel the Board of Elections to agree to Republicans could have up 60 representatives in the room, and that all observers, Democrat or Republican, could get up to the six-foot barrier. Democrats have been saying, well, we're doing that anyway. They really weren't. So in his opinion, I saw it. I saw it go down. Now, in Georgia, we have a very big race underway. In Alaska, a Republican Senate candidate one was expected. That gives the Republicans 50 in the Senate, 48 in the Democrats. There are two races being decided in Georgia. You've got in those two races. Both of the Georgia seats up for grabs. You've got a Republican against a Democrat in each of those races. Republicans have to win at least one. If they win one, then they hold a majority in the Senate, 51 to 49. If they win both, well, then it's 52 to 48, even better, which is always good. If they don't win either, you've got a Senate tied at 50-50. And if there is a Biden-Harris administration, you do know who cast deciding votes in the Senate, do you not? The vice president. So Kamala Harris would be the deciding vote in the Senate. Do you think she'll cast a vote for Republican? Oh, Larry, what a stupid question. Don't even finish it. Shut your mouth. Well, here's what's happening in Georgia. Less than a week after the elections now, New York Times columnist Tom Friedman was encouraging leftists to pay attention to what's happening in Georgia. And on CNN's Chris Cuomo the other night, he said, I hope everybody moves to Georgia in the next month or two, registers to vote, and votes for these two Democrat senators. And former Democrat presidential candidate Andrew Yang said a similar thing. He said the best thing to do is to help, and that'd be a Democrat-controlled Senate. So he encouraged Yang, encouraged his followers, go to Georgia, register, and vote for the Democrat candidates. In other words, they are going to flood Georgia with Democrats just to establish residency for that election only. There's not a lot of time. Registration deadline is December 7th. In-person early voting, December 14th. The election in January. So they're going to have to do it right away. Well, after his battle cry, Yang announced that he and his wife would be moving to the Peach State, saying, Evelyn and I are moving to Georgia to help our candidates win. It's only our way to get Mitch out of the way and give Joe and Kamala things that they can accomplish in the next 4 years. Let's go. Well, Georgia declares anyone who's a legal resident of the county and fulfills all other requirements, such as being a citizen, being old enough to vote, is eligible to register to vote. To register, they just have to provide either a Georgia driver's license or a Social Security number, fill out a form online or in person, send it to the Secretary of State by December 7. A lot of time between now and December 7. The Wall Street Journal did note, a felony to vote in Georgia if you're not a legal resident or only plan to be in the state temporarily for an election is a felony. But will anyone go after it? They are openly encouraging Democrats to move to Georgia. Establish a residence. I don't care. You might all have the same address at the same hotel or an apartment if it's got to be something that's not a transient location. And you can all say you're all living there and we're all voting and we are now Georgia citizens and Georgia voters, and we will make sure that we win this election. That is out and out fraud. Will that stop them from doing it? No, of course it won't stop them from doing it. This is where the game is being played right now. Lie, cheat, steal, whatever is necessary. I mean, I'm serious about this one. You can debate the Trump-Biden thing all you want, but Georgia right now is under assault for corrupt voting. All right, we come back. CNN anchor declares that Trump is a walking dead man. And you're a zombie, by the way.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My number one priority in the coming 2 months is to try to facilitate a transition that ensures our president-elect is successful. We now are going to want to do everything we can to help you succeed, because if you succeed, then the country succeeds.
Well, those are the words of President Obama as Donald Trump arrived at the White House after he'd won the election. And I'm not sure the exact date, but I think it was after everything had been certified. In fact, I'm sure of that, but I don't recall the exact date. I don't have it in front of me. And CNN was playing that last night, showing, look how classy Obama is. While Trump right now still won't even concede defeat. And as Biden said, it's embarrassing he won't concede defeat. Well, there are legal challenges underway, Joe Biden. And if the situation were reversed, you could do the same thing. You could be challenging and saying, I can't, you know, Trump's not won yet. We got enough challenges here. We're going to raise question. And I would support Joe Biden in that. I would, because that's the law. Can't change a law because of your politics and your desires and your wishes and your whims. It's the law. But what they're trying to do now is say, look how classy Obama handled that. And this is a guy that he shook hands with in the Oval Office who had become the president, a guy that was kind of encouraging the birther movement, questioning, did Obama, was he really born in the U.S.? So you had to be a U.S. citizen to be elected president. But I remind you, before we go down that track, you remember who really pushed the birther discussion and got it going during the primary? The Hillary Clinton team. Hillary Clinton team. Then she lost Obama. So now we've got all these folks saying, you know, just he's a sore loser. He won't concede. And Biden says, it's an embarrassment. Oh, they go farther than that. You've got CNN anchor Jim Sciotto, or whatever his name is, on the news CNN newsroom, talking about how Trump still refuses to concede and basically suggesting he's putting America at risk for a terrorist attack. That's what he's saying. Co-anchor Poppy Harlow asking, yes, sir, these softball questions, yes or no, are the actions of the president taking now putting this country in danger? Actions, she's talking about, are legal challenges to the vote and the vote counting process. That's putting the country in danger because we're following the law. But it's perfect for these guys because a former Bush administration official, Attorney General Jack Goldsmith, was there and saying, clearly it's not great for our democracy. Jack Goldsmith, you're an assistant attorney general at one time, so you're worth the Bush administration. Do you not still believe in the rule of the law? You're going to say that because he's challenging, it's not great for democracy? Democracy allows him to make the challenge. But then you get Jim Sciotto, or whatever his name, jumping in, saying, yeah, let's put some teeth on that if we can for a moment. They are sitting members of Congress around in their positions at the time of 9-11. The 9-11 Commission specifically cited the shortened transition after the 2000 election for having an impact on national security. They said the fact we've experienced how far shortened transition makes, there could be potential danger. And Goldsmith fell in line with him because he's sitting there on their set. They're going to be paying him for his appearance. I mean, you're absolutely right, he said. That's true. He said, maybe they don't understand the implications. This is a dangerous game they're playing. It's a dangerous game because you're trying to uphold the law as it's written. And then you get Director of National Intel James Clapper also sounding off because Trump won't concede. And he says, because he won't do that, it's just wrong. We should have a smooth transition. And in the midst of all this, you got Chris Cuomo. Chris Cuomo said, I got to tell you, this, the way I see this Trump guy and his followers, here are his words.
Now we're hearing from Trump, who's no president. He's a dissident at best and a revenant in the main, a revenant, a dead man haunting the halls of a country in crisis. So we get what's going on. The question is, what do we do about it? First thing is, you got to keep that energy up, too. You've got to be outraged by this. Because if this dead man walking and his zombie pals in Congress are looking to make this transition into a complete horror show, the only thing that's going to stop them is the outrage of what they know just bit them in the behinds at the polls. You coming out and being active like they did not expect.
All right. So they came out. But did they come out in enough numbers to post the numbers we've been seeing? The New York Times, again, as I said in the beginning of this hour, and a 2010 article admitted mail-in ballots are ripe for fraud. The New York Times said that. And Congressman Jerry Nadler, now on the House Judiciary Committee, admits paper ballots are often a way for fraud. But hey, you know, come on. We're not talking about Democrats in fraud. We're talking about, you know, the other guys. Yeah, it's going to go around for a while, and it should. It's the legal actions are perfectly legal, obviously. Let's get full transparency. Maybe it's just going to be too hot for Democrats. Thanks for joining us. Let everyone know we're on the air. I do appreciate you sharing it. We'll be back here tomorrow. You know, we'll be here 1 to 3 again tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.